Well, hello and welcome to the Profit Express. I'm Tim Healy. I'm inviting you to join me each and every week so you can be prepared to win the battle for business. Yes, that's right. And thank you, as always, for sharing your time with me today. Now, it's my job to make it worth your while to tune in. So you know what? That's why I invite on great guests for you. The guest that you can listen, learn, and earn from. Today's guest, I can assure you, is no exception. So now that we're talking about, and the theme of the Profit Express is winning the battle for business, you can't win the battle for business in 2021 unless you can effectively manage the demand on your digital time. What do I mean by that? Let's face it, so much of what we do as sales professionals, so much of what we do as business owners starts with our emails. It's on our social media platforms, of which there's many. And now it's on our virtual meetings, of which we're having many of those each and every day. So it's from everything from email to social media to Zoom or MS Teams, and the list goes on. And if we're not efficient with these very critical digital tools, there is no way we are going to win the battle for business. Now, I'll speak for myself for just a moment. I know for a fact that I am not nearly as efficient as I need to be, as I must be, for my business Healy Success Solutions, for the show The Profit Express. So think about it. We're communicating with clients. We're following up with clients and prospects. We're promoting our products and services. Now we're promoting our personal brands. So you owe it to yourself to be as efficient as humanly possible with your digital platform, with your digital presence. So that is why today's guest is going to be so worth your time. Now, get a load of some of these credentials. The first one I love. He is the top 15 most followed blogger on time management. Not in the country, but on the planet. It's like I tell you, I get you guests that you can listen, learn, and earn from. This guy is no joke. He's also the CEO of Get Control, and he's a best-selling author of the Hamster Revolution series. And today in particular, we're going to be discussing his latest version of the Hamster Revolution, Hamster Revolution for TQ. So I selfishly want him on because I know I need help on the subject of digital efficiency. And I know, speaking for a lot of my clients and friends, we could all benefit as we inch ever closer to winning the battle for business. So it's a pleasure to have on board the Profit Express, Mike Song. Mike, how are you today?
I'm fantastic. Thanks for having me, Tim. Great intro. I think you queued up the topic perfectly.
Well, I always love these topics where I myself am suffering, you know, because as a business owner, as the host of a show like The Profit Express, there's so much out there. It's overwhelming. It's daunting. I don't have to tell you, obviously, we're going to get into it. But I know, speaking for myself and speaking for clients and friends, a lot of us are not nearly as efficient as we could be. Forget perfection. Just can we inch it up 10 or 20% better, I think would be a great victory. So that's why you're here. No pressure. So let's do this. Again, you're best-selling author of The Hamster Revolution and your latest book, Hamster Revolution for TQ. Where does your latest book pick up where the others left off? Let's start there.
Fantastic question. TQ stands for tech quotient.
Right.
And what we realized was while we were helping people boost their digital dexterity, like you said, their digital literacy, working with either the Google Documents environment or the Microsoft environment, or working better with faster with their browsers and shortcuts and links and all the stuff that people have to contend with today, we realized that there was no way to measure that aptitude. People had of all the things that we measure, our tech proficiency is probably one of those vague, poorly defined, impossible to really nail down. People say, mm-hmm. That person's pretty tech savvy. They're good with technology. It's either like an on or off switch, when in reality, some people are okay with technology. Some people embrace it. Some people run away from it. Some people love to share it. Other people hoard it, keep it really to themselves. So we were seeing these different tech types out there. And so we said, there's two things going on. No one can really measure this thing. And it's really important to measure and get better at anything. It's like any sport. You know, if you don't know what your 100-yard dash is or 100-meter dash is, you're not going to be able to improve on it.
Sure.
And it's also very, very true that there was this complete lack of definition of tech types. So, people just come up to me at the end of a keynote or something like that and say, I hate technology. I try to stay away from it. It makes me nervous. And other people would say, I'm diving into everything. I'm doing the stuff that you're telling me in real time on my laptop as I'm sitting in the audience. Those are two different people. And we don't discuss enough. Why? Like, what's going on with those two different people? How can they help each other?
Right.
Why are these differences out there? Why haven't they been defined in an era where we're, especially after COVID, so immersed in technology that, like you said, you really can't succeed unless you have a digital strategy right now is how you're going to get better and better with your digital skill set over time. Just to keep up, just to be in the race, you got to keep continuously learning about your tech environment.
So it's interesting you say there has never been a measurement of somebody's tech aptitude or skill level or embracement of technology. And I think it's an important thing kind of identifying. I'm a little nervous to find out what kind of tech type I would be. It might not be a pretty picture. But if you can, you know, understand and identify where you're at, I think it'd be a lot easier to kind of embrace, hey, what's that next step in my awareness to getting better? That's where we're going with this, right?
Yeah. It's really a simple thing. Once we broke it down and realized there wasn't a definition, it wasn't that hard to discuss what really are the elements of it. Putting it all together was a 10-year project, really. But in the end, it was pretty simple.
Right.
How many of the most effective, useful best practices is a person utilizing in the world of work? And then how often do they utilize those best practices? So in any kind of a skill, you know, there's the good, better, best way to do things. And what we found was the vast majority of professionals, 75% or so, would fall into what we call an emerging techie tech type, mm-hmm. which means they've got a lot of upside potential. They've missed a bunch of things just because they're busy. You're running your own business. You've got so many things to figure out between, you know, healthcare, sales, marketing, sure. all of these things, creating, production, manufacturing. So when do you sit down and say, wait a second, what's under that little three-dot button over there? You know, what can I actually do with a browser to create more shortcuts that I can get to in one click so right. that I can find all the stuff that I'm working on? That little conversation gets pushed aside because it's a little scary because those answers don't jump right out at you mm-hmm. From the tech environment. So emerging techie is where I would put 75% of the population in this country. And then we figured out another sort of way to think about it. There's the use of those best practices. That's one measure. And the secondary measure is a person's tendency to look around at their team and say, hey, I found out something new today that's saving me time and helping me get more sales or get more done or get to my leads or my opportunities faster on my, you know, on my CRM,
right.
whatever it might be. That sharing element is really something that's also not incentivized, not recognized, not motivated in big and small organizations around the world. It just haphazardly takes place.
Right.
And so I think those are the two characteristics of tech aptitude, tech quotient, TQ, if you will. It's do you strategically go and learn about these things? And then what tendency do you have to share them with your team? Because we're not asking you to turn into some amazing worldwide global thought leader coach on this. We just want you to turn to the person sitting next to you and say, hey, did you know that in Teams you could do this and that? And that actually saved me some time. Those are the kinds of things that we're hoping people will listen up to today. And I'll try to throw out a bunch of those things today that you can share if you're listening to this great podcast. I hope to be a tenth as entertaining as George Foreman or some of your other amazing guests. But I would love to say that I think I can really, really help your productivity and your performance by getting you to think about TQ. And that's what the book is about. I couldn't recommend it more. I'm really proud of it. It's my best thing I've ever done. And it's a quick, you know, 1.5-hour read. You can go through it fast and pick up the big concepts and a lot of cool little tech tips on the way.
Well, listen, it is, you know, from the host's perspective, certainly a must read, certainly a book to have in the business library, if you will. But I think as you're explaining this, you know, listen, who you are as a presenter, because I know you also do platform presentations, you're a trainer, not just an author, of course. But as I'm hearing you speak, Mike, it's giving me a comfortable feeling that we're not going to be an expert. We, you know, we don't have to be some technology savvy genius out there. But I think it's embracing and feeling comfortable, because technology can be, let's face it, it can be intimidating to some people. It's intimidating to me in certain
yeah.
aspects. As my wife, she laughs at it all the time. But if we know who we are and where we're at, just kind of embracing it can help us be more open to some of those tips. Now, here's something I do want to talk
absolutely.
About. Obviously, pre-COVID, there were still lots of digital demands. You know, we still had email, of course. We still had social media. Virtual meetings aren't nearly what they are today, of course, but Zoom was around, MS Teams was around pre-COVID. So there were digital demands. Then COVID hits, as we know, the world changes, business and how it's done changes, and virtual meetings and the relevance of virtual meetings and digital communication changes. From your perspective and who you are as a leader in the industry, in the space, I would love to get your sense as to how you've seen it change over the last 18 months. What have been some expected changes and maybe some, you know, surprises that you've seen evolve?
Well, I think it exploded for us because we always did this virtual training, how to have more virtual impact, particularly working a lot with small businesses and salespeople mm-hmm. and teams of salespeople. And how are you showing up virtually? Because if you can do a virtual meeting really well and avoid, say, a 100-mile drive somewhere, you're going to be with your family, you're going to have more energy, and you can make three more sales calls virtually. So we were always pushing this as a way, not necessarily to replace live interaction, but boy, it can really increase your sales and your company's reach. So a couple of quick, very quick things. We always believed and we saw that people just were terrible at connecting in virtual meetings on average. We noticed that in almost every sales team that we looked at, I'd say 7 out of 10 of the salespeople would be kind of struggling with their lighting to connect, to not look nervous, to not look off to the side. They weren't framed right. They were, they never made eye contact with the camera. You felt like they were very self-effacing. You know, I'm not really good what they would say. Like, I'm not really good with technology and I'm not really good at this or that. And that's not really the kind of stuff. It can be endearing for someone to admit that they've got a flaw, but to be stumbling at the outset of those meetings is not the greatest way to kick off a meeting and confidently say, hey, I'm really going to, you know, great. It's going to be great connecting with you. So we really taught people how to prepare, how to do a speed test ahead of time, how to create a pre-meeting environment where maybe you have a very powerful slide up that you're looking at, how you can show that you are on that client's website by just having their website up on your browser as you kick into your presentation. You mentioned, hey, I was on the Tim Healy website. I was seeing all these amazing podcasts you've done. I just did it for you. You know, I noticed that you've got some really cool stuff and I love your whole Ways to Become a Better Listener series of things. So instantly the client's realizing you did more than just kind of, you know, make a call here. You really were doing some research right up even to the last moment. So the value of teaching folks this was that we began to see them have greater impact, boost their sales. It was a little bit about planning. And then for larger audiences, we noticed that this was petrifying to a lot of people when they had 7 or 8, 10, 15 people listening in on that big presentation sometimes that you're making to close a deal. You know, when they round up all the influencers and this is going to happen. Well, what we discovered was they had really maybe 80% of the people were very nervous about perhaps saying, hey, type into the chat if you're finding this information useful, right? A classic response check that we would see in sales all the time.
Right.
You know, type into the chat if you thought that was useful. So I would show people a cool tech tip and I'll say, hey, type into the chat if that was useful. Just type the letter U, just U for useful. Type that one letter in there. And what's going on with that is you're creating a feedback loop that begins right at the beginning. In fact, I usually do a sound check and say, if you can hear me clearly, just type a Y, you'd really be helping me out. So now the client sort of helped you out, made sure they can hear you clearly. You're confident you're not speaking to, you know, into oblivion. And at the same time, you're starting a feedback loop. And this is the hardest thing for people to visualize, but one of the easiest things to do. You know, you just type this one single letter in there. And so you start to get good at just watching the chat box out of the left side of your eye or your right side. And that's where you get confidence and feedback and humor and content, or maybe an objection, which would be a good thing, right? Yeah, I don't think we really need that kind of thing here. Someone types that into the chat box. Now, if you hadn't asked for that kind of feedback, you'd be thinking they liked your presentation. You wouldn't know. And you'd be waiting to the very, very end when you say, hey, did that make sense? Was that useful?
So you can
get people nodding their heads in that fashion in those virtual meetings.
So what I'm hearing, and this is, listen, I think all of us could write a book on horrible Zoom meetings we've been victims of, you know, either as a participant or maybe Zoom meetings that we've blown ourselves. So just a few simple things that I'm hearing, which are great ideas, Mike. And again, today's guest, Mike Song, author, best-selling author of The Hamster Revolution. And today's focus for his newest book, Hamster Revolution TQ. It's getting, can you see me? Can you hear me? You know, go into the chat feature, you know, type in a U, type in a Y, get some initial feedback, which makes it going from this kind of static, uncomfortable environment to, okay, wow, people are there. They're paying attention. I've got some level of engagement, but you're starting off your presentation that way. Because I mean, listen, I know you've been a part of them where people would just go on and on and on, and there's like zero feedback. I mean, that is death. Death.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you ask for feedback maybe 30 minutes in, and there's just crickets because people have sort of tuned out. And so, you know, I think it's tough too. Like, I really want to sympathize with your typical person who's trying to, you know, run an effective virtual meeting. There's a lot of ways that it goes wrong. I think even just basic front lighting, you know, many people haven't considered their lighting at all, or if they have, they're not really looking at it from the outside in. They're saying, well, I got a ring light and I set it up, but they don't realize maybe there's a glare in their glasses that makes it look very odd, right. Their image look very odd. So one of the things that we always say, boy, this is the easiest free advice you could ever get, is just set up a mock meeting, you know, and just set up a mock meeting with a colleague and say, hey, look, what looks the best here? You know, I'm wearing this and that. Does a blue shirt look better than a black t-shirt? What looks good? You know, all of those things that you would get if you were doing anything else externally, you know, you'd have a producer or a director on a commercial or something like that. They would be telling you, say it this way, do it that way. And I think we've asked for very little coaching. You know, people haven't reached out to their colleagues, but your colleagues could say, you know what? I can't really even see your eyes. You know, one of the classic things that I see all the time, Tim, mm-hmm. and I still can't believe it, because these are people who are really highly paid salespeople in some cases, or super incredible executives. These are great people. I love them. But they will have it framed so their chin is below the bottom frame of the screen. And I'm literally seeing from their nose up, the top of their head, on the bottom half of the screen, and a big empty space above their head. And right. They're just talking. And then their name comes across the screen. It covers their mouth, covers their nose, looking at two little eyes peeking up over their name. I mean, who would go into a meeting to do a presentation, you know, with a cardboard box in front of them blocking, you know, their face?
Right.
You know, I try to make that analogy to the real world. You know, of course we wouldn't do that. We'd walk in, we'd look the person in the eye, we'd shake hands, you know, we wouldn't get down on our knees and like go, hey, I'm down here. We'd be like, hey, I want to look you in the eye and tell you what I want to present today. So even stuff like the framing, it makes a big difference. And we did this really interesting survey of about 900 professionals and said, are you reluctant to turn on your webcam? And it was like 80% of the people out there are just reluctant to turn on their webcam, even really? Now, even in this era of Zoom meetings and stuff. Yeah, they really would prefer not to. And but we also found that about 50-60% of them.
Do we find out why? Because that's yeah, what drives me crazy.
I think it has a lot
of screen.
Yeah, I think, you know, when we asked them, well, why don't you want to turn it on? We mm-hmm. heard a lot of like, I don't think I look good. You know, people are self-conscious.
This
is a visual medium. They feel, you know, and I think some of that lack of confidence, Tim, comes from just having this bad lighting, not having anyone give them any positive reinforcement, saying, hey, when you change those lights, you look so much sharper. And I'm not talking about being better looking. I'm saying that everybody looks better with front light than they do with backlight. Backlight right. tends to put your face in shadows. So you see a lot of people, they've got a window behind them, and it's almost like you're looking at this shadowy figure. It doesn't look right at all.
Yeah.
And so I think that people, when people look in the mirror and they go, I look good today. You know, oh, I like the way I look in that. They are more mm-hmm. confident. And I think sure. when people look at their webcam image, they grimace. You know, they grimace. They're like, because there's shadows. It's not, it's grainy. I mean, some people just have to go out and buy a better webcam. I mean, I've told people, boy, that whatever you're projecting that through, it looks like I'm looking through a, you know, a cellophane wrapper. It, you know, it looks warped. It looks grainy. So I always try to say, look, you know, look sharp.
So let me ask you then, and these are all, you know, great strategies. And, you know, there is the emotional component. People are uncomfortable with how they look, so they don't want to, you know, they black out the screen, which is horrible. But let me ask you this. In, you know, March of 2020, when the pandemic hits, when a lot of people are still not using virtual meetings to the extent we are today, obviously, I think people were, you know, the business community was understanding and acceptable of people not being great at the virtual meeting. Again, March 2020. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Fast forward, you know, it's December 1st, 2021. Does anybody have any excuses at this point not to be at least proficient at the virtual meeting today?
Yeah, I don't, I think, well, you know, I don't know if they I don't know if they have permission or not, but I would encourage every single person out there to say, how can I boost the impact that I have in a virtual meeting by 20, 30, 40%? Mm-hmm. My manager, my boss's boss could be in on this meeting. And if I'm just showing up in this very wishy-washy manner, it's not great. It's also not great to constantly be saying, yeah, I'm no good with technology. In a world where you have to be good with technology just to kind of meet the basic requirements to get a job. You know, do you guys understand how to use Outlook and Teams? And, you know, so I always coach people to replace that negative self-talk with positive self-talk and really look at some of the basics of how you can present. Are you clear? Do you do a sound check? I've had so many muffled or distant or really hard to hear people, the audio and the visual, you know, you can easily up those pretty dramatically. So I'm constantly saying, hey, you know, maybe you need a better headset. How old is that headset you've got on? And sometimes people will be like, well, I've had it for like 10 years. Like, you know, it's probably time to get a new headset. I don't sell headsets, but I do sell the idea that technology has moved forward. Right. So yeah, I would encourage everybody to just stop the negative self-talk of I'm not great with technology. You know, it's not that hard. It requires just a couple TQ elements. And this is where I think TQ is breaking some new ground for people in the sense that we say, well, have you practiced this thing? Have you gone through 5 mock sessions? No, I haven't done that. I just don't like to be on webcam. Well, you probably would enjoy being on webcam and you get more relaxed if you practiced it. Are you an athlete or a musician or anything else in your private life? You know, oh yeah, yeah. Do you practice that? Oh yeah, I practice all the time. But why wouldn't you practice this? You're getting paid. You're getting paid to do this. Exactly. You're probably not getting paid to play a sport. So I think the repetition thing just doesn't occur to people. And that makes everything easier. Another thing that we tell people is, listen, you've got to look under all the rocks. And the rocks are all those 3-dot buttons, gear icons. Sometimes it's a 9-dot button in the world of Microsoft 365. Are you clicking on all of those buttons to see what they do? Because there's usually an extra option, 2, 3, 4, 5 options buried underneath those things. And people say like, oh, I didn't really think of that. Mandatory. Every 3-dot button you see, click on it. That's how you start to expand your TQ. So we're turning people into these sort of treasure hunters for learning more about their technological environment. And that seems to be working. And one other really fun tip that I have for people, let's say you're working with Excel or PowerPoint or spreadsheets, you know, in Google or whatever it is you're working on, and you're like, oh, I'm not too good at this, and I'm suddenly doing presentations, so I better get better at it. Mm-hmm. Or I'm doing an analysis, so I better get better at it. We don't allow ourselves to play with our technology that much. And by that, I mean, create some monsters. Create a spreadsheet with 4,000 graphs in it that looks like horrible because you tried to click on every button and use every feature. Or create a PowerPoint presentation with 3 million animations in it. It's probably going to collapse of its own weight, right? You can insert images and icons and you can quadruple and triple things. That turns into this really big mess, right? It's a big muddy mess of junk in there. Right. But what it causes you to do is to know what's underneath those buttons and what they do. And then when the time comes where you really need to know that if you click on insert inside of a PowerPoint, insert icons, there are now like 350 cool icons for you to make infographics out of. So suddenly you've got a better marketing piece because you created an infographic versus just a text graphic because you went on that little TQ discovery journey. So we're teaching people how to boost their TQ, not just boosting it with tips, tricks, and stuff like that.
Right. And you know what? Also, the one thing you're saying that I'm gravitating to, and it's something I train my clients on from the sales perspective, get curious about the technology. Like you said, you know, click on the 3 buttons, find out what's going on with this, you know, throw everything in a big heap in the middle of the table and just kind of figure it out, you know, let it blow up. But yeah, just starting to get comfortable with it first, which is what we talked about in the beginning of the show. And then also now, you know, your level of proficiency or lack thereof, just get more curious. Now, again, we're talking about winning the battle for business. And you can't do it if you're not proficient with your digital presence in 2021. And that's why you have today's guest, Mike Song. He's CEO of Get Control. He's a best-selling author of the Hamster Revolution series. And his latest book is Hamster Revolution TQ. It's one of those must-have books for your business library, just saying. Now, Mike, I think you'll appreciate this. I, on behalf of some of my clients, interview sales professionals. And I had a interview last week. I'm sorry, 2 weeks ago, before Thanksgiving, 2 weeks ago. And it was with a gentleman. We did it via Zoom. First thing, he could not accept the Outlook invite. He texts me at 10:30 at night. Hey, sorry for the late. True story. Sorry for the late text. I can't figure out how to click on the acceptance. I said, all right, don't worry about it. You know, I'll see you tomorrow. I know you accept it. So then he gets on the interview. He knows it's going to be Zoom. It's at the time is November of 2021. And exactly what you just discussed a few moments ago, Mike, he's sitting in front of a window, a bright, bright window. It was 8 o'clock in the morning. The sun is coming up. I cannot make out the detail in this guy's face. 10 minutes into it, he's like, oh, Tim, you know, maybe I got a little too much light behind me. I said, yeah, I think you do. So then he takes his laptop. He's moving it. I'm seeing the corner of the ceiling. I'm seeing a bookcase. And then he finally settles down. I mean, not a good look. I mean, they're so easy to fix these things if you take the time and care enough. My gosh. Oh.
Yeah. There's a really fun chapter in the book where I just go through my checklist, you know, as part of the book itself. I'm in the book. One of the characters is making a virtual presentation. It's a really nice checklist of like 15 things that are just really easy to check, you know, your center, is your head on the top? You know, is the lighting coming from the front? If the shades behind me here, if there's a lot of light coming through here, I close these shades back here because it just creates a really bad, you know, backlight.
Sure.
It's really interesting. So I think you're absolutely right. And hey, look, I think people are pretty cool. They're pretty understanding if you really messed up your technology. But when you have a little chain of two or three things that go wrong, I think people get very antsy with it. You know, they're like, well, you know, they could have worked that out ahead of time. And that's probably indicative of how they might overcome tech challenges in the future with a sort of a clunkiness versus I'm here, I'm in the zone.
Right.
I just know that if I had to choose between two people and one of them was rock solid on right from the beginning, the lighting was good. That was just, we didn't have to worry about that. Then I would probably go with the person that's if all things are equal, I go with the person that seems to have the handle on the technology. So it gives you that edge. You know, if you want to get that business, you go for that.
You're absolutely right. And here's a funny thing. So as you're talking, Mike, and I admit it, you know, wholeheartedly myself, you know, I'm in need of getting better. Okay. I absolutely admit it. I almost think that by putting in place, you know, your checklist, your strategies that you share on your site, in your book, et cetera, it's almost as if you know, you're in sales and you're presenting, or it's management and it's training, whatever it is, on a virtual meeting, if you can make, and I'd like to get your take, I think you will have created a perfect environment if you can get the participant to forget it's a virtual meeting. By everything being done seamlessly, and they're just really focusing on your message. That's what we want to get to, no?
Yeah, I think you're right. It's exactly when you're watching a TV broadcast or something like that, and suddenly the sound is funky, or you know, it's very distracting.
Right.
You know, so yeah, I absolutely think that. Now, you know, like I said, if something goes wrong, you should roll with it, and we all understand. The broadband can be weird. Everything can be, you know, but I think you're right. Preparation is really important. And then I think that another thing I also notice is that more and more of what we do is based upon being online in some way, or it's a web location that you're showing the client, or it's a, you have to go in and as you work, your workflow is based off of something that's on a browser. So one of the tips that I always give people is whatever you're doing, really take a look at your browser and the bookmark bar that goes horizontally across the top of your screen and ask yourself, are all the places that I need to go within one click of where I need to go? If I'm working on a big project and I need to see 15 different things, maybe it's 3 YouTube videos explaining how to do something. Maybe it's 4 different web points that the client that relate to the client you're talking to or something like that, or the project you're working on. And maybe it's internally, just to use the kind of if you have some type of sales tracking system like a Salesforce.com or a HubSpot, maybe you're looking at that and saying, I go to these 5 positional points inside of this web tool. Well, those should all be stretched right across your bookmark bar, one-click options. Or if you run into some very big projects like I sometimes do, I create a folder on my browser bookmark bar by right-clicking, add new folder, and you can then click and drag links in there. One of the tests that I have for people to say, hey, how relaxed are you with really quickly grabbing important links and putting them into an organized fashion in front of you on your screen? And I'll say, what's the fastest way to create a shortcut with a bookmark bar? And many people don't realize that you just have to grab the little icon. I'm staring at HealySolutions.com. And to the left of that, there's a little icon of a lock because you have a security, your site has good security. So that little lock icon is what you left click and drag and pull down onto the bookmark bar. It allows you to place where you're at right now into some type of instantly retrievable location. And it gives you much faster surfing and much creating a package of all the information that you need to complete a job. Now, with Google Docs, even documents are now links. And now with Microsoft 365, there's a little share button in the upper right-hand corner of, say, an Excel spreadsheet. You can click on that, select copy link, and you can get a browser version of that spreadsheet. And so what this means is that we can now pop onto our browser bar, which is a really convenient place. We go all the time. Mm-hmm. We can start creating much more organized surfing. And for salespeople presenting what they do, they can line the first, second, third, fourth place that they show people right up on their bookmark bar. So they're not searching for it or scrambling for it or clicking a drop down to get to that link. So there's a lot of these things that we can do to take away steps that create that moment where you're a little distracted. And you fall out of the moment. So that's one thing I really think is critical. I created a video in the book about these browser bookmarks. Mm-hmm. And if you go to getcontrol.net/Cal, C-A-L, because the guy's name is Cal who shows this tip, you can see me setting this up. And I can tell you that for me, it's been one of my top three best tips in the last 3 years is helping people organize their browser bookmarks into a really strategic using folders and even subfolders sometimes.
Right, right.
Because people now have hundreds of places that they surf to.
As you're describing that, and it's obviously it's a great idea. Thanks for sharing on the Profit Express. It just seems like, you know, especially for sales guys as you're doing presentations or anybody for that matter, it can make it a lot more fluid, a lot kind of seamless. Yeah. I mean, That's well. Listen, that's why we have you on today, Mike. Now, one thing I do want to talk about. We've shared, you've shared a lot. I haven't shared anything. I'm just asking some questions. You're sharing all the gems. But one thing I do want to talk about, because I think I've been victim of it myself, is digital burnout. There's, you know, email's been, you know, a tool that's been around forever. Obviously, social media. You know, I've got, you know, numerous platforms myself with the business, with the show, and then of course with virtual meetings, which we discussed a lot today. I've felt it. I've been like, oh, I'm sick of Instagram. I'm sick of Twitter. I'm just done. You know. Let's talk about that, if you could. You know. Really, how would you define digital burnout? Is it real? And what's the impact? How do we need to be aware of that?
Yeah, I think digital burnout is a very real thing. I think that there's so much information. I think it's information overload, and it's also navigation overload. I think people are spending so much more time clicking to stuff and trying to find stuff. Mm-hmm. So we are always trying to show people, hey, here's an advanced search tip in say Outlook or Gmail. There's a filter button. You can click and instantly see all the email messages with just attachments.
Right.
And then if you click on the from button, for example, you can see all the email with attachments from Tim Healy. So those are far fewer clicks that you're taking. But everybody is taking cuts from motion. They're doing it with 5-6 extra clicks. So one of the big elements of TQ in the book that we talk about is how do you make navigation more seamless? Another one is interruption management. If every person right now listening to the Profit Express, we're all on this train going to a more profitable you, we're on the Profit Express, which I love that title. While we're sitting here on the Express, open up your phone and look at your notifications and turn off every app that notifies you of something that's medium to low priority, right?
Yes.
So if you have a cooking app, you don't need to know that the souffle of the week is, you know, butterscotch. You know, it's not really, you're not going to need that interruption. Right. And you can just turn off app after app. The average professional is getting 80 push notifications from their phone just for starters, let alone, you know, 40 or 50, you know, email and then 40 or 50 Teams or chat, you know, kind of interruptions. They're getting 20, 30 text communications going back and forth. Oh, so I think a lot of the burnout is that the controlling the burnout to some extent, cut down the steps that you take, organize your digital information and reduce those interruptions. Interruption management is a big pillar, if you will, of TQ. And so you're just working smoother with less friction at that point.
I love it. Mike, listen, it's been a great conversation. It's one I want to have for a while because, you know, our ability to be able to effectively navigate our digital presence is critical. If we're going to win the battle for business, we have to be better at it than we are today. And we also don't have to stress about being experts. We just need to be better at it. And listen, your books, your website are a great resource. People want to learn more about you, Mike, follow you, your message. How can they get in contact with you? How can they follow you?
They can absolutely follow me on Twitter at Get More Done. You can email me at info@getcontrol.net. And we have a brand new learning, digital learning center called at lms.getcontrol.net. So it's lms.getcontrol.net. And that's, you can actually go in there, take classes and boost your TQ right today if you wanted to. So we'd love to see you all there. And you can also ask us questions there as well. Always happy to help out. And don't forget that other little bonus video, getcontrol.net/Cal, C-A-L, because that's a really cool tip that, you know, is there for free for everybody.
I love that one, by the way. That was a great one. Again, today's guest, Mike Song, CEO of Get Control, author of the Hamster Revolution series. And we're talking today, obviously, about his latest book, which is a must-have for the business bookshelf, Hamster Revolution for TQ. So again, Mike, thanks so much for being on board today.
You're welcome. It was great being with you, as always.
You got it. Thanks, Mike. And of course, this is
Thanks,
the Profit
Tim. Take care.
You got it. And this is the Profit Express, where each and every Wednesday you're jumping on board so I can help you be prepared to win the battle for business and check out latest shows that are being downloaded, just like my show today with Mike Song. And you can follow me in the show on Instagram at The Profit Express, on Twitter at Profit_Express. And we have to always thank and mention those that are the biggest fans and supporters of the show, the sponsors themselves. Corbett Public Relations, promoting and protecting businesses and brands for over 30 years. Please visit our good friends at CorbettPR.com. That's CorbettPR.com. And there's certainly a bunch of folks over there who can help you win the battle for business as well as it comes to your branding and PR needs. So keep tuning in each and every Wednesday for the latest show as we are headed on the journey to winning the battle for business.